think about the Lord God and His Son Jesus. Let's worship Him in music this part. Unto Him. A thousand times.
A thousand times I fail, still Your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in Your grace. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give You control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love You from the inside out.
Sing unto Him.
Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing You everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give You control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love You from the inside out. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring and praise become my embrace. To love You from the inside out. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond all pain. And the cry of my heart is to bring You praise from the Lord, my soul cries out. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, Your glory goes beyond all pain. And the cry of my heart is to bring You praise from the inside out. Lord, my soul cries out.
Those words change us, Lord God, from the inside out as we cry out to You. We worship You, dear Lord God. We give You the praise, honor, and glory. Continue to fix your eyes and your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is great and mighty. He stands above all else. I sing unto you, higher than the mountains.
Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. One thing remains.
Tell it.
Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love.
Thank you, Lord.
On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never fails. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your grace. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love.
Tired of saying that, telling it to him.
Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love. Your love.
Praise God, the Lord God Almighty. His love is unconditional, everlasting. We give Him praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly to go to the cross. That in you, you provide all that we ever need, will ever need now and forevermore. So that's why we sing to you. We sing from our hearts knowing this, that you are our supply for all of our needs. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. Sing to you. You're my supply.
You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more long. awesome that I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. All of you, it's more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
Oh yes, always from the heart. He wants to hear it, so sing it to him.
You're my sacrifice of greatest price. Still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King. You are everything. Still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
Okay, we're gonna get that chance to tell him of this bridge. More than all I want is all in.
More than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than enough for me. More than all I know, more than all I can see. You are more than enough for me. More than
It's more than enough. All found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we ever need is in Him. And we give Him glory. We give the Father glory and honor. Worship. Hallelujah, Lord God. Come on, give a clap to God Almighty. We clap for everyone else. Let's clap for Jesus. Lord God, we give you praise. We give thanks to you. For God, you are so worthy of to be praised. Lord God, again, we come, Lord, with praises. We come with prayers. But Father, that should never be a downer, but an upper. Because we know when we trust in you that you can do all things. And that you can do all things through us in Christ. That it is by your strength. Just talking with the brother here this morning. Lord God, our faith is when we actually live it out, so that our faith helps us experience you in the name of Jesus. Lord, it goes beyond words. Our lives, we live it out by faith. And as we live it out by faith, we experience you, God. It goes beyond the knowledge of our minds. So Father God, I just pray. I pray for all of us, God, that we are excited because of Jesus. That there's nothing that can keep us down. I am reminded this past week reading about the armor of God that you've given to us, that nothing can stop us, God. There is nothing. We might be hit hard. We might be even sometimes take a nail because we're getting pounded. But Lord, as long as we have that armor, we can stand back up and charge forward. So Lord God, our prayers, God, are real. It is for ourselves and for others that we love and for those we don't even know. But Lord God, let that be still, even in the midst of that, be joy. Because our joy is in the Lord, knowing that you will do a wonder. Knowing whatever you want to do, we allow you to do it. And I pray again, God, for us. For every single one of us, for all who comes to you in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we be just willing and lay down our lives as we did the day we believed in Jesus. That we lay down our everyday lives to live for you however you choose. Not the way we want, God. Lord, if we experience you, we had an encounter the day we believed in Jesus. Then we will have an encounter every day by how we live. As long as we heed to your words that we are following. So, Lord God, move us and stir us. Mold us and shape us, oh God. Let us become like your Son who loves you and did your will. No holds bars, no conditions. This is how I am, but I am in Christ and he lives in me. So, Lord God, may I live my life pleasing, holy, and honoring to you. May my life be an adoration of worship. May it be a living sacrifice that wherever I am, the job you put me in, Lord, there's a reason and a purpose, not just to survive here on earth, but to exalt you on high, on earth as it is in heaven. May we spend the rest of our lives exalting Jesus. Put ourselves in the back burner, like John said, the Baptist. I must decrease and Jesus must increase. May he increase through everybody. The church is not the building, not the program or the method. It is the lives of we who have committed to surrender to Jesus. We love you, Lord God. And that's what we sing about here this morning. We give you praise in the midst of our trials. And we surrender every day to follow you, as hard as it is sometimes. But may we understand that you bring us peace that can surpass all understanding. And a yoke that's not heavy, but easy to take on. For Lord God, you love us. And that is seen through your Son. Jesus, in Jesus we have all that we need to do what you call us to do. To live in places you called us to go. So Lord God, may you have glory and honor by your people. And those who would discover you yet to come. Glory and honor to you. We give thanks to thee. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll take it.
Amen. God is good, and all the time. Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Valley Isle Fellowship. We want to recognize our visitors, our guests. Thank you for being here this morning. And if you receive the bulletin this morning, you'll see that there's a yellow card in there. Please fill this out for us so we can better communicate with you and be better in community with you. So, as the offering bowl comes around at the end of service, please drop that in the bowl. We appreciate that. This is Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for spending your weekend here with us. You know, Memorial Day is just it's to be recognized. And you know, I want to take this time. If any of you folks here have served or are serving, could you please stand up so you can be recognized? You know, our freedom is not free, yeah? It comes at a cost. And we just want to take the time to remember that. And I'm sure a lot of us have loved ones who have served and who've given the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we have. Amen. Okay, a couple of announcements this morning. Two Thirds World Network had a rummage sale a couple weeks ago. And was it last week? And if you donated any items for that and you would like to have a receipt for the donations that you've given, please see Grace after service. She will have a receipt for you. Again, anyone that had dropped off any donations for that event. Okay, this week the Young Adult Fellowship starts. This week is going to be June already, huh? So Thursday night, 6:30. You remember Nene came up here last week and announced that. So that would be at the Bagoyos house. But please, if you have your information from last week, that had everything on it. But if you have any questions about that, see Nene after service. I got to put these on, sorry. But you guys are blurry when I put these on. I think that might be better so I don't get so nervous up here. And also, Neil came up here last Sunday and talked about Give Thanks celebration that we here at this campus will be holding on Saturday, June 24th. And also on Sunday, we'll be having a lunch right after our Sunday service. And so do you remember who the host is for that event? Right. I thought I was going to hear somebody say, Neil's the host. That's right. We are the host for that event. I heard some good news this week. As you know, the old High Street property was given over to Doris Todd and Maui Christian Academy. So with that said, I believe through all the efforts of Mr. Chet Crane, they just received accreditation. And through two entities and, what is it, 6 years? So that's full on God, yeah, because accreditations are difficult to come by. Even Lahaina Luna struggled with that. So look at what God can do. So praise God, and thank you, Chet, for all that hard work that you continue to do for our youth on Maui. You know, as far as announcement goes, again, check your bulletin. Always something that you can participate in and serve in. And again, if this is your first time here, Valley Isle Fellowship exists to love God, love his church, love his world, the greatest commandment. And as we are here together, we're loving each other, encouraging each other. And the great commission is to go. So God is moving. Do you agree that God is moving? So we need to move too. Amen. In the back table, you know, we always have some good information back there. So the new Daily Bread is out with the open windows. Also, Mature Living and Home Life magazine is back there too. So please grab one on your way out. But before that, before you leave, we have fellowship after church on this side. So we do have coffee, we have water, we always have some good snacks. So we appreciate that ministry, and please partake in that. So that's what it's all about as far as loving the churches, amen? Come together, encourage each other, and get to know each other. So that's all I have this morning. Before our pastor comes up, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. It is a gift, Lord. Lord, we are continuing to give thanks to you for everything that you do in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we surrender this time to you as you open our minds and our hearts, Lord, to the preaching and teaching of your truth, your word, so that it may change us, Lord, so that it can cause us to move, Lord. Father, just go before us today and for the rest of this week. Just continue to guide, mold us, and shape us to your church, the church you desire us to be. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Shanley. I need to make one correction to what Shanley said. In our dealings with Doris Todd Schools and Maui Christian Academy, we haven't finalized yet, but hopefully this coming week or certainly by the end of next week, we'll be done. Chet, you must be anxious. I am too. We're still working through some legalities. Our attorneys have turned over the rough draft to us, and we've made our comments and waiting for them to get back to us on a final copy. So that's what's holding that up, okay? So please be in prayer for all of this to go smoothly, okay? This is Memorial Day, and we are thankful for those who have served. Thank you. I only saw two who served. Is that correct? I thought there were far more than that. But you know, I also need to say we are thankful for those of you who have family members who have served and maybe who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, because when your family members were away, you played a vital role in helping to encourage them, helping to motivate them to keep on going and doing the things that preserved our freedom. So thank you, family members. And of course, we are thankful for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. But let us not be amiss in these kinds of celebration to leave out our Lord. Because if you think about it, Jesus Christ gave it all up for us, far more than any other person did. So he really has given up everything for us. This morning, we're going to continue in our in our study in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. 17 through 20. And let me ask you a question as we begin. How many of you have put forth a lot of effort and in doing various things, only to find yourself kind of hitting against a brick wall and getting stopped? You might have tried to do things for the Lord and find yourself getting stopped. You may have just tried to do things for yourself and find yourself getting stopped. How many of you realize by those experiences that your efforts have limitations? Not too many of you. The rest of you are like Superman and Superwoman. Nothing can stop you. I can't believe that. I bet those of you who think you're Superman, try running through this wall. I think you'll find that superhuman strength has waned in your life. But, dear people, we are all like that, because human strength, human effort will really hit a dead wall when you're up against spiritual forces. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Spiritual power dominates human effort is point number one. Spiritual powers dominate human efforts. Look at verse 17 and 18. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Now, I think if we really think about our own lives, we'll find this to be probably a part of our experience, where we thought, this is what God wants us to do. And we try and we try, and somehow it fails. Well, dear people, I think you need to understand that human efforts have a propensity or a tendency to fail. Human efforts have a propensity to fail. If you're doing it in your own mind and in your own strength, you're going to fail. Or you might fail. Okay. Sometimes you might succeed, but man, if you come up against Satan, you come up against God, you're going to fail. Okay, if you're doing it in your own strength and in your own mind. Now, I want to make clear that you have power, at least in two ways. You have the power to choose. That's not ever taken away from you. You have the power to choose, right or wrong, God or Satan. You have that choice. You always have that choice. And you have the choice, once you make that choice, to be faithful or to be unfaithful. In other words, you can stick with it or you can give up. The choice is yours. That's not God's choice. That's not even Satan's choice. That's your choice. Whether you're going to be faithful or you're going to be unfaithful. Whether you're going to stick to it or you're going to give up. That's your choice. Okay? Also, you need to realize, if you attempt to do it on your own, expect to be gobbled up by Satan. Because when you do it on your own, you're going to be saying, God, I got it. I'm going to do it my way. You're not powerful. You're not powerful enough against Satan. He will overwhelm you. Okay? You need to understand that human efforts have a propensity to fail, the tendency to fail, because satanic powers are real. You may think that I'm crazy here, but I believe the Word of God. Now, let me tell you about my belief in the Word of God. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. I believe it all. And, you know, I understand there are people that tell me, and some very studied people who tell me that, Steve, you can't believe all of that. And you know what they're really saying is, you can't believe what your interpretation of it. But you know, dear people, as far as the Bible is concerned, you look at what the Word of God has to say about Satan. The Word of God proposes that Satan is real, very real. In fact, it gives us the story of how Satan had a rebellion against God in heaven, and he was cast out from heaven. Not only Satan, but all the demons, all the ones that were trying to follow him were cast out. Now, dear people, you can look at that as being just an illustration that God was giving, or you can take it as really happening. I take it as really happening. And therefore, I'm going to share with you a scripture passage where Jesus deals with the Gadarene demoniac. And that's going to be later. I believe with all my heart that man was possessed of demons. Now, that's because that's what the Bible tells me. Now, if I try to figure out another way of interpreting that, then what's going to be more important is my reasoning and my interpretation rather than what the Word of God is saying. So my choice is this. I choose to go and believe and run my life according to what I know the Word of God says, rather than what I think the Word of God says. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not going to try to use an interpretation that differs from what the Word of God says. So everything that I present to you today is what I believe the Word of God is saying, not what I'm interpreting it to say. Okay? So, therefore, satanic powers are real. And you don't have the strength to stand up against Satan on your own. You don't. But just as satanic powers are real, so is the power of God. God's power, in fact, is more powerful than Satan's. More powerful than Satan's, okay? Satan doesn't have a chance against God. You need to know that and understand that. Satan is powerless against God when God says, no, this isn't going to happen. He doesn't stand a chance, okay? Whose side do you want to be on? Satan's or God's? The one who's going to lead you to all destruction, or the one who's going to lead you to abundant life? You remember John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The second half of that says, but I have come that you might have life and just get by. Just get by. Man, if that was in the Word, I'd throw my Bible away. That's not what the Word of God says, right? What does the Word of God say? That you might have not a life that just gets by, but abundant life. Abundant life. Now, that's the difference between Satan and God. God wants the best for you. He wants the very best for you. But, dear people, you can't do it your way. You got to do it His way. You got to do it His way. So, number two, yes, there are two spiritual powers. I want you to take a look at with me at some passages of Scripture here. First of all, taking a look at Satan's power. Satan's power. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says this. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You hear what this is saying? Satan has power, blinding power, because he blinds the eyes and the understanding of those who don't know Jesus, causes them to have real distorted vision. Now that's Satan's power, to blind you. How many of you have ever been in that state where you were blinded? Okay? Any of you who accepted Jesus Christ in your adult years, before you accepted Jesus Christ, you were blinded by the power of Satan. But God gave you better than 20/20 vision when He revealed to you who Satan was and who you are. And He showed you the path to life everlasting. Satan has real power to blind people. So, dear people, this world is terrible, not because of those who are not Christians. Not because of the evildoers. This world is terrible because of Satan. He has blinded them. But also, this world is like it is because of we who are Christians. We have compromised our faith and we give to people a distorted image of what faith in Christ is all about. Remember last Sunday, I played for you a Francis Chan video, just a short portion of that. He was talking about his trip to India and how every person he met had a phenomenal story of faith in Christ. Phenomenal. So much did that impress him that he asked one of them, is there anybody who's normal? I mean, he's talking about normal like we have it here in America. And you remember the response? No. That doesn't make sense, because why would someone give up everything for something they don't believe in? You see, the Christians in third world countries are giving up everything, even to the point of giving up their life, because of their belief in Jesus Christ. He is magnificent, and we can give it all up to Him. So, Satan does have blinding power. And you know what we need to do as Christians? We need to live a life that unmasks who Satan is and show who God really is. Because many times, the only Bible that people will read is the Bible they see in you. So give a very clear display of who God really is by what you think, what you do, and what you say. Let your life be consumed by Christ. Secondly, in Ephesians 2:2, it says this. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You hear that? He is the one that is commanding those who are disobeying God. He's a commander. So he is demanding. He gets a hold of you. You ever hear this old, I think it's Arabian little story that says you give a camel an inch and he will what? Take the whole 10. You give Satan a foothold or finger hold in your life, he'll consume your life. He will. That's the experience that those who don't know Jesus Christ are having. They are being consumed by the devil. But, dear people, there's something in here that you need to know. Look at the beginning part of this verse. You used to live in sin. You used to live in sin. You used to be under the power of the devil. But if you read that whole passage, you're no longer there. How many of you have experienced that? Used to live in sin, but you are being set free by the power of God. Anybody? Amen. Only that many? Let me ask that question again. How many of you have experienced that where Christ is setting you free? Amen. You're no longer the way you used to be. And that's not because of your effort. It's because of his love, his grace, and his power. He is the one that's doing it in you. He is the one that's setting you free. So let's now turn to the good part. I just gave you the negative part. But let's turn to the good part. God's power. God's power. Ephesians 6, 12. This is part of the passage that, in fact, the passage right before the passage that Pastor Darren was praying. Ephesians 6, 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in high places. Boy, that sounds pretty awful, doesn't it? Man, we're fighting against an unseen enemy because we're fighting against spiritual forces. But Pastor Darren prayed victory as he was praying the what follows after this. And what is that? God provides for you an armor. He provides for you spiritual armor so you can stand up against the wiles of the devil. And dear people, let me tell you this. Read through the Word of God and you'll find this. He is the commander. He goes before you. And he goes with you, and he even stays behind you. In other words, God is the one that's going to go before you and fight the battle for you. Isn't that marvelous? And he's provided the armament so you can be victorious. He's provided all the resources so you can be victorious. He is a great and mighty God. Now, let me bring you to this passage of scripture that I mentioned earlier. Luke 8, 26 to 39. I'm not going to read this passage to you. I encourage you to go read it for yourself. But I'm just going to give you a synopsis of this. Okay? God's power in Ephesians 12 is a fighting power. He fights on our behalf. This passage of scripture indicates that he has freeing power. He can truly set you free. This is a story of Jesus going to the Gerasenes. He crosses the lake and he goes to the Lake of Galilee and goes to the Gerasenes. He finds this man who is homeless, living in the caves. And in fact, in our society, we might call him someone who is mentally deranged. But this passage of scripture says that he was possessed of demons. Possessed of demons. Now, dear people, I want to tell you this. If you're possessed, this is my opinion. Okay, this is my opinion. If you're possessed, or if anyone's possessed, they need to be saved. They need Jesus Christ in their lives. They don't need mental health. The real crux of the problem is Satan. Now, the trick is trying to discover the difference between possession and mental health But dear people, there, I believe there is a thing called demon possession. I think I've experienced two people in my life who were demon possessed. But I don't want to get bogged down here. This passage of scripture says in verse 29, the end of verse 29, he was completely under the demon's power. Completely under the demon's power. How many of you want to come up against someone who is completely under the demon's power? Now, this person, completely antisocial, can't even get close to him. They tried to lock him up and chain him up, but he had superhuman strength. He'd break the chains and he'd escape. Then it goes on. Jesus goes to this area. This man comes out to confront Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "What's your name?" And the man replies, or maybe the spirit within the man replies, "Legion, because we are many." Notice what he said? "We are many." So it could quite possibly be, and I believe it is true, that you could have multiple amounts of demons, a horde of demons that can possess you. But the demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. Now, I don't know why Jesus didn't do this, and quite possibly because it just wasn't the time. But the demons were saying, "Don't send us into the bottomless pit." So Jesus sees a herd of swine, pigs, close by. And he sends them into to the pigs. And the pigs go crazy. They run off a cliff and they kill themselves. Over 2,000 of them. Okay. Now, verse 37, it says, all the people in the region of the Gerasenes beg Jesus to go away. They witness what happens. And they get scared of Jesus. And they say, "Go away from us. He has just done something marvelous." And they're rejecting him. Has Jesus ever shown himself to people in powerful ways and people get scared of him and seek to be separated from him? I think all the time. All the time. Sometimes even people in the church do that. They get scared of that. Now, dear people, these people, they ask Jesus to get away. Now, this man is marvelously saved. You know what he wants to do? He wants to go with Jesus as Jesus, "Okay, you don't want me here? I'm not going to be here." And he's going to go. This man wants to go with him. But you know, this is what Jesus says in verse 39. "No. Go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went back home and told everybody what happened. You know, dear people, that's the same thing that God asks you and me to do. Nobody can contradict your personal experience with Jesus. You're the expert. So what Jesus asks of us is to do what we're the experts on, for us to go and share with people what Jesus has done for us. Problem is twofold. One, we're scared. Why? We're scared. We have a powerful God that lives within us, provides everything within us. And the second thing is, maybe we're not real sure what he did for us. Dear people, we have a great God. He is a powerful God. Don't deny the work of God in your life. Shout it from the housetops that Jesus is alive and he's a gracious, loving God. Now, I want us to come to this last part. Because all of a sudden, in 2 Thessalonians, he switches focus. Here he, in the first part, he's telling us that he wanted to come back, but he was prevented. But then in verse 19, he says this. He talks about the greatest fruits. He says, after all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns. What's going to be our pride and joy? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Let me read to you what my study Bible said about this passage. It said that the ultimate reward for Paul's ministry was not money, not prestige, and not fame, but new believers whose lives had been changed by God through the preaching of the good news. You see, Paul's goal was not money, it was not prestige, and it was not fame. What it was changed lives. You know, dear people, Valley Isle Fellowship has much to be thankful for, right? Brand new building, neat property. But dear people, that's not where your joy, that's not where your pride should be. Your pride should be in Jesus Christ, number one, and in changed lives that he brings about. Not just more people to fill the empty seats, but change lives. People who have been set free from the power of Satan and brought to new life in Christ. That's the difference. This building could burn down. Changed lives can never be destroyed. Dear people, the greatest fruits for anybody is to have a part in seeing true converts. True converts, that's A. True converts. People who are radically changed by the power of God. True converts are people who are bearing fruit. Look at this passage of Scripture, Matthew 7, 16 through 20. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, I want to say to you, you need to take the whole breadth of Scripture. Don't take one passage out of context, because this may look like, oh man, what I do is supremely important. And I would say to you, no, that's not what the Word of God says. Who you love and who you let control your life is supremely important. But the works, the actions that you do will indicate who is controlling your life. You understand what I'm trying to say? The good works can be demonstrated in your life only if God is controlling you. You will be doing not what you want to do, but what he wants you to do. And his desires are so much higher than our desires. And so when we let him take control of our lives, dear people, he's going to take you to places that you never even imagined you'd go. He will cause you to say things that you're wondering, where did that come from? He'll cause you to do things that you would think, I didn't know I had that ability. Dear people, in and of yourself, you couldn't go there. In and of yourself, you couldn't say that. In and of yourself, you couldn't do that. But it's Christ's power living and working in you that gives you the ability to do that, to bring glory and honor unto him. So very important for us to see. So, dear people, when a person is genuinely converted unto Christ, they can't help it. They're going to speak about the love of Christ. They can't help it. They're going to show it to people all around them because they can't help it. Jesus has meant so much to them. Now, let me speak to old Christians right now, okay? You who are young Christians, close your ears, okay? You old Christians, don't ever have this attitude towards young Christians. Oh, yeah, I remember what that used to be like. I was like that, too. But you know what? They'll calm down, and they'll become more like us. Don't let that happen. You become more like them. You get their excitement. You get their joy. And you get their enthusiasm. Because that's what we're supposed to be like. Excited about Jesus. Okay? Now you new Christians can open up your ears. Jesus is worth it. So, true converts are people who, man, they just do it because it's real. Also, good fruit, godly nation, godly people. That's so important. Now, my heart's desire for Valley Isle Fellowship is that all of us become the people that God wants us to be, not just 20% of us. In most churches across the nation, 20% of the church is doing 95% and sometimes 100% of the work of the Lord in and through that church. Should never happen, dear people. The church was not designed to do God's work with only 20%. It takes 100% of the church. 100%. It is my desire to see that when I'm dead and gone, Valley Isle Fellowship has grown to be 100% committed to the Lord. All of us are committed to the Lord and serving Him the way He desires. Not just 20%. Although 20% can do a lot, and they will keep on doing if the 80% don't do. But, dear people, think about what will happen if 100% of Valley Isle Fellowship is really doing all that God wants us to do. Can we change Wailuku? Amen. You bet you. Can we see Maui County changed? Yes. Can we see the state of Hawaii changed? Yes. And you know what? If Maui County and the state of Hawaii is changed by the power of God, it'll spread to the world because the world comes here. People who love the Lord, passing it on to foreigners who will take the gospel back with them, the gospel will spread to the whole world. Dear people, godly nation is important. Look at Joshua 24, 14 through 18. So, fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us from our ancestors, from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, He preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out our enemies. He preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living in here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for He alone is our God. Dear people, here Joshua at the end of his life, just about ready to turn over the leadership to someone else, says to the people, hey, you choose. You choose who you're going to serve. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. My desire is to see every single person in this room today say, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'll do my best to lead my family to serve the Lord. And then as a people, we will say, we too will serve the Lord. For He alone is God. He alone is God. I will serve Him. You know, dear people, it is so important for us to realize that we need to have a focus on building godly families. That's number one. Building godly families. Parents, your main responsibility, fathers and mothers, is not to provide for your children according to this world. Give them great food. Give them great clothing. Give them great educational experiences. Give them great cultural experiences. That's not your primary goal. Nothing's wrong with that, but that's not your primary goal. It should never be. Your primary goal is to build godly children. I'll tell you what, if you don't spend the time in their childhood building a love for Christ in their life, you're going to be having heartache as they become adults. Because if they live a life apart from the Lord, that will bring much pain, much distress in your life. Your primary responsibility is to grow children who will love the Lord. Why is it in Valley Isle Fellowship we have a problem finding people who will minister to and serve our children? It's hard to find workers to be with our children who are back here right now. It's hard to find in the next hour people who will minister to our children. Parents, you should be the first to step up to it. You should be the first to say that I'm going to serve the Lord by building my children up and whoever they come in contact with. Why is it that we don't have that concept? Because, dear people, I'm not blaming you. The reason is because we haven't pushed it as a church. I blame myself for that. But also, we let the customs of this world take a hold of us. Once church is over, great, let's move on. We can go to the beach after that. But yet, the children have a time of discipleship that is not offered at any other time during the week. You know why we don't offer it any other time during the week? Can't find people to serve in those areas. So, therefore, we're not there, dear people. I want Valley Isle Fellowship to serve the Lord in building godly families. And then, dear people, we need godly people so that we can have a godly nation who will serve the Lord and not abandon Him. Not abandon Him. You know, in Valley Isle Fellowship, we've had people come and go, come and go. And then we have people just go and go and go and go from here. And I blame myself for that a lot. But you know what? That does not sit well with the Lord. And it gives the Lord a black eye when that happens. I want to see that change. This abandonment, dear people, is critical. I want to read you a passage of scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. It's not going to be up on the screen, so you might want to write this down so you can check it out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, and this is from the New Living Translation. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong to us or with us. Dear people, my heart grieves mostly, not over those who have left our church and went to another church. I praise the Lord that they're serving in vital roles in other churches. But my heart breaks over those who left our church and left church, period. hear me clearly. My heart breaks over those who left church and left church completely. Because you know what that might indicate? That even though they came to Valley Isle Fellowship, and maybe they even had an appearance of having Christ-likeness, when they left, it might be an indication that they never had the Lord. Never had the Lord. Does that distress you? It distresses me. Now, why am I saying all that? Because there might be some here today that are thinking of leaving. And if you're thinking of leaving to go to another church because that's what God has led you to do, praise the Lord. God is moving you into another place of service. And I praise the Lord for that. But if you're thinking, I'm leaving here, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm not going there, and you don't go any place, it could be that you never really had the Lord. I can't be the judge of that. You have to be the judge of that. But I tell you what, God will also be the judge. It's not our place to judge anyone. And this is not judgment. This is a warning saying, if the Lord means that little to you, then are you really a part of his kingdom? This is a God who loves us so greatly. So greatly. I just found this just before it was too late for me to put it into the PowerPoint. But Francis Chan, again, I found this this morning, says something that I believe is so important for you to hear. Listen how much God loves us.
So last weekend, Todd talked about having joy in trials. And when I think about that, and you know how certain people come to your mind when you think, okay, who do I know that's been through all sorts of trials but still has maintained joy? And the first name that comes to my mind is, maybe not first, probably second. First one would be Lisa's grandmother. And the second one is this lady in our church, Jean Palfrey. Jean, some of you guys know her. She's been here from the start, just has been through some unimaginable things in her life. I'll just leave it at that. I had the privilege, though, yesterday of doing her wedding, and it was so cool. Gosh, there's so much to say about it. It was right here in this room. I only do like one wedding a year. I mean, one or two weddings a year, just time-wise, but I just really needed to do this one. It was so special because, okay, Jean has a daughter who is 28, but she is mentally disabled, and so she has the mind of a six-year-old, and she was the flower girl, okay? But this, you know, Jean, who's always been filled with so much joy, I've seen her the last 18 months, she's just been beaming because this guy that's come into her life, And she was telling me, you know, during the counseling, as we were getting ready for the wedding, she was saying how, you know, I looked at him and I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Me? I mean, look at me. I'm old. Look at all of my wrinkles. And she says, and then he looks at me and goes, no, those are like dimples to me, you know, and just goes, you're beautiful. And she, you know, she just goes, I can't believe he just keeps telling me how beautiful I am. And then I'm like, well, are you sure? I mean, my daughter, I mean, you don't want to take all of this on. This is difficult. But here's the clinch. Okay, so we're doing the ceremony and everything is so beautiful, so wonderful, so perfect. And then, you know, in the middle of the ceremony, as a surprise to everyone, you know, I announced that after the giving of the rings and vows and everything else, I go, hey, and Rick this morning also has bought a ring for April, Jean's daughter, because he wants her to know that he is taking her as his very own. And you guys, she's standing down here, and the moment I said this, she screams, runs up the stage crying. I mean, picture this, a six-year-old in a 28-year-old body just screaming, hugging him, going, I love you, 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 I love you. His tears are coming down her face. I love you. Just crying and screaming, and everyone's bawling. And I confess, I cried. First time ever in a wedding, I just lost it. Because it was like, no way. You know, I mean, just her emotions, she just couldn't even control. It's like she could not believe that he was making a commitment to her. And then, you know, and then he places this ring on her finger, and the whole place was just bawling. And I just had to stop the whole ceremony because I said, do you guys understand what just took place here? I said, I don't think you will ever see a more clear picture of this book than what you just saw here. The Bible says that God looks at us as His bride. His bride. I said, so you understand, like Rick is taking Jean, and Jean's going, man, are you sure you want me? And he's going, are you kidding? You're beautiful. I mean, that's the picture of us, right? We're looking at ourselves and go, God, do you understand what a mess I've made of my life? Do you understand all the things I've done? And he's going, no, I want you. The Bible uses those terms as my bride. That's what the Bible teaches. He wants us as His bride. But not only that, the Bible also uses another analogy, and it says that He's a father to the fatherless, and how He adopts us as His children. And you and I should be like April this morning going, are you?
I asked them to cut that off, so if you want to see the rest of it, you got to go find that tape. But, dear people, the reason I wanted this video, because this is the capstone. Your efforts are powerless against spiritual forces. You realize that? Your efforts are powerless. Now, on one hand, there's only two powers. On one hand, there's Satan. John 10:10a says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. On the other hand, there is God. John 10:10b, the second part of that says, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundant. That kind of example where this guy marrying this woman with all of the baggage that she's bringing, including a 28-year-old who has a mind of a 6-year-old, and he accepts the mother and the child as his own. With all that baggage, you have a lot of baggage, don't you? You have a lot of hurts. You have a lot of hang-ups. But you know what God is saying? I love you, and I want you. Can you see that? You have a choice. You can give yourself to the powers of this world, which is Satan. Or you can give yourself to Christ, who loves you, and He proved His love for you by coming, leaving heaven, coming to earth, living a perfect life, so He can be the perfect sacrifice. And then, not only being the perfect sacrifice, but going through what He needed to do as the perfect sacrifice, so that you could have forgiveness of all of your baggage, of all of your hang-ups, of all of your wrongdoings. And He says, that no longer matters because My blood has washed you clean. That's who God is. That's the God that I'm saying to you. Give your life to Him. He loves you. Do you love Him? Are you willing to give up everything for Him? Yeah, you might get stopped in doing things, but throw your hope, throw your love in Christ, and let Him guide you through all of the obstacles of this life. Let Him use you for His kingdom's glory. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask that our ushers come forward at this time. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and we praise You. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us so much. Yes, there are forces that are really powerful outside of our lives. But we have been given the power to make our choice of whether we're going to yield our life to Satan or yield our life to God. There cannot be in between. For Father, if we stand in between, we're really choosing the ways of the world. Father, there is no compromise with you. And so, Lord, in an uncompromising way, I pray that we give our lives to you. Father, I pray that you bless the giver as they give only what you have instructed them to give. And Lord, I pray that as you've instructed them to give this, they'd give with a cheerful heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them for their love, faithfulness, and commitment unto you. Lord, I pray that you bless the gift, Lord, that it will be used mightily for your kingdom's glory. And Lord, we pray that this will bring nothing but glory, honor, and majesty unto you. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Give me a song in the night. And Jesus, I need you every moment. I need you.
You know, if I have offended you, I'm really sorry for that, because that's me offending you. But I'm not sorry for preaching the Word of God, okay? Because that is the Word of God. You can call me on it if you like. Please do. But don't hold this against God. Hold it against me, but not God. He is good, okay? Search out these things. I'm responsible for what I preach and teach, but you're responsible for what you believe and how you respond to that. So search it out before you accept it. Search it out before you reject it. And I pray that God be glorified. Amen. God bless you all. As you go from this place, go to love him and serve him. Thank you.